I like that old song. A friend of mine put that together a few years ago, and it just says a lot to me. So, oh, it's so good to be here again, and we're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The title of the message today is, Behold, Now is the Time. Now, there's a significance in this message in its entirety. Obviously, it's the gospel, and it's what the Lord wanted to preach today. But indeed, I believe it also transcends into our time after our service today. And I want to encourage each and every one of you today that if there's any way you have time to please stay after for the meeting. I know meetings don't excite too many people, but I really have some things on my heart I want to share with you. And whether you're a member or if you're thinking about becoming a member or if you just care about our community, I do encourage you to come and have dinner with us, lunch with us, and stay after. We won't keep you here all day, and hopefully you'll get something out of what we're going to say. A couple of quick things before getting the message. Christmas prayer said just before Christmas, two brothers were spending the night at their grandmother's house, and at bedtime they knelt down to say their prayers, and they said with a very loud voice, one of the little boys said, Dear Lord, please ask Santa Claus to bring me a Wii, a telescope, and a bicycle. And his brother said, Man, why are you shouting? He said, God's not deaf. He said, Yeah, but Grandma is. So, so you want to think about that. And I saw this little story here, and it really speaks. And this is a serious. This is not funny. This is serious, but it really says a lot. It said there was a story of a woman who was out Christmas shopping with her two children. Many hours of looking after row of toys and junk and everything imaginable, and hours of hearing both these kids asking for everything that they saw, she finally made it to the elevator, exhausted, just exasperated after the day. She was feeling what so many people seem to feel during this time of the year, overwhelmed. The pressure to keep going to everything, every housewarming, every party, every this, every that, all the different stuff. Getting something for everybody on the list, making sure we don't forget anything, get all the cards out, all the different things. It began to overwhelm her as she entered into the elevator. And the elevator doors were opened and she got in and it was completely crowded. And she pushed her way through, got all the way in and got all of her packages and her kids all around her and stuff. And when the door closed, she just couldn't take it anymore. She screamed out at the top of her lungs, Whoever started this Christmas thing should be found and strung up. Well, from the back, a very quiet and calm voice said, Don't worry, they already crucified him. For the rest of the trip down the elevator, it was so quiet you could have heard a pin drop. So the writer of this makes the challenge. Said, Don't forget this year to keep the one who started this whole Christmas thing in your every thought, your every deed, your every purchase, your every word. Because imagine if we all did, how different the whole world would be. Isn't that great? When we think about that, it would change the landscape of everything. You know, if like Brother Bob was reading, you know, people weren't concerned whether they could say Merry Christmas or not. You know, the Lord, I felt like impressed upon my heart yesterday, something. I was walking with the girls, and we were coming up to do some stuff here in town, and even if you look at Christmas from a secular side, Santa Claus says Merry Christmas. He really does. He says, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. So Santa Claus can say it. Why can't everybody else, huh? I mean, it's good enough for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Behold, now is the time. Paul writes, We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, In an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, that we could be here together today. Thank you for all who have gathered, Lord, and for those that couldn't be with us today. Whatever the case, Lord, we just pray for their safe return. And Father, we just pray, Lord, as today you give us this bold and powerful message, but also, Lord, even beyond this, Lord, you give us a very clear and bold vision for the days ahead. And I just pray, Lord, that we can embrace that. Lord, we could feel your presence in everything that is said and done today. And I just pray your blessing over it all. I thank you for the worship we've had so far. And now I pray, Father, that the remainder of this day as we gather here together, Lord, in your house to worship the name of Jesus would be a blessed time. And we'll just thank you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, we all said, amen. Nearly every commercial that you see on television that is selling something, it expresses an urgency, if you will, to order. Right now, you got to get to it in order to secure the deal. You know, and now they've tried to up that just a little bit, that if you'll call within a certain amount of time, they'll double your order. I mean, they're really, really doing their best to entice you with the urgency to immediately pick up that phone, get out your credit card, or you're going to miss out. You know, that we see that urgency all the time. Sometimes they even put a little clock in the corner that's counting down the time. Well, if we look at the time that we're living in right now, if we look at the literal time of date here, we're looking at the 11th of December, we are in a countdown of the year. There's only just a few weeks left, just a little bit of time left before a brand new one starts, as the Lord so tarries. Life for each and every one of us, as we go by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, whatever the case, life for each and every one of us is on a countdown. You know, there's only so much of it left. We don't know from day to day. So every moment that we have, it's important. Every moment that we have is important. But what about now? What about now? What is important about right now? And I think it's this, because it's right now, truly the very moment that we stand in, that we must realize what is important. We need to find the priorities of life, if you will. We need to look and see exactly what it is that we need to do. We need to think about where we are and where we are going to be. There's an old saying that said, there's no time like the present. And I think now is very important that we look at now. Paul writes in this verse, he said, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the accepted time. Now, many people, if we look back over the course of this year, many people started off this year with great expectations, big plans. Man, they had all this stuff all lined up, big ideas, but not all of it worked. Not all of it panned out. Not all of it came to be for whatever reason. You know, we're not finding reasons here, but whatever. Some people stand today here at the end of this year disappointed in where they are now or whatever they didn't get done. That's just kind of true. Some think they wasted their time. But there's good news. There's good news if we look through the Word of God. There's good news. And I challenge you to understand this. If you woke up today, and I'm assuming all of you did, if you are still breathing, and I'm assuming all of you still are, then there is still time. There is still time to make this day, this week, the remainder of this year better. And the time is now. The time is now. Paul was telling these folks here in Corinth when he wrote this letter to them, the message is still alive today, what he was telling them. There was still time. And he was telling them in this particular case, there's still time to get saved. He's like, you know, all hope is not lost. There's still time here. He said, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Again, if somebody woke up this morning, if there's someone in this room or there's someone that you know and they woke up this morning and this particular situation, having accepted the Lord, is something that needs to be taken care of, then now is the time. Now is the time. There's no need to put it off. Why put it off? Because tomorrow is not promised. We all know that. You know, we all know that. We may say today, I'm going to do this tomorrow, or I'm going to do this next week, or whatever. But honestly and legitimately, we can't say that. And the Bible talks about it in the book of James, where it says, we're going to go do this, we're going to do that. And he was somewhat chastising them, saying, don't say that. Don't go say you're going to go buy and trade and sell and do all this and that, whatever, tomorrow. You should say, if the Lord so wills, you can do this tomorrow. So that's kind of what we look at here. Tomorrow's not promised. We are alive right now. We have the opportunity right now. Now is the moment. Luke 18 and 13 says this, "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Now, what does that have to do with now? Now, we need to understand there is still time to admit that we are sinners. What does Romans 3 and 23 tell us? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, so we still have time to admit that. There's still time to acknowledge our separation from the Lord and our desire to correct that. We still have time, but the time is now. We need to look at our desire and understand, do we want to fix that? We have time to receive the love of God. We have time to believe in what He has done and believe in the love and the gift that is told to us in John 3 and 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave." Now, what season are we entering into? What season are we in the midst of? The season of Christmas, the time of giving, the time of love. Here we see indeed that it is upon us, and giving is at the forefront of most people's mind in this time of year. Irregardless of what the size or the kind of gift that it may be, giving, whether it's giving of time, giving of love, giving of a gift, whatever the case, that is the forefront of thoughts in this time of the year. But the question that we really have to answer is, have we received God's gift? Because you see, God gave His gift to the entirety of the world. I thought there this morning as that little video was playing, there are people all over everywhere in this world that have not received God's gift. But my friends, let me share with you, as important, and I will in no circumstances downplay the importance of that, because indeed we should support missions all around the world or whatever. But let me share something with you that's very, very clear to me and very, very real. There are lost people right outside this door. And there's a heap of them. And that's what God is calling us to do, is to reach them. They have not received God's gift yet. They have not done that. But if not, now is the time. Now is the time. We who are alive today, we who remain, we have time to understand and accept the death of Christ in our place. It says in Romans 5 and 8, "But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, God, Christ died for us." Now, why is now so important? Why is now so important? Because we hear that verse. We hear that verse, but those that are waiting, whether you be here today and you've just not made that commitment, or whether it's someone you know and you know that they're waiting, they're on the verge, they're hanging on by a thread, and they're not sure what to do with their life. They're not sure where they are with their acceptance of the Lord and that relationship. They need to hear the message giving here. It is personal. It is personal. We need to accept that and embrace that and say, wait a minute, Christ died for me. And think about what that really means. Christ died for me. I probably need to think about that. What does that mean? What impact does that have? Now is the time to do that. Now is the time to get the greatest gift you'll ever receive, and that is the person of Christ. We are in the midst, my friends, right in the middle of a wonderful season. I love Christmas. Man, it is just fantastic. Lights, flowers, trees, all the great stuff. One of my favorite things ever. You know, one of the true things that I ever really looked forward to growing up, and there wasn't a whole lot, but that was the one thing I always looked forward to. We're in the midst of that right now. All about blessings and miracles and giving and real love. And the thing we need to understand is, if we are looking for all of those things and you want to roll them into one and get one great big package, you can get all of it in Jesus. You can get every bit of it in the person of Christ. And the great thing about it is, there's time to accept Him. There's time to receive that gift today, and that time is now. That time is now. Not only was He born for us, my friends, not only did He die for us, but it tells us in Romans 10 and 9, it says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So not only was He born, not only did He die, but oh, praise the Lord, He arose for each and every one of us. And there's time to understand that, and the time is right now. The promise, the hope, if you will, of our salvation rests in His resurrection. And we have so many people around us that need to hear this. They need some good news. You know, where they're battered and bruised, and they're just inundated with all the negative and all the bad that's around them. We have the greatest news there is. Don't we want to share that with everybody? Don't we want people to know? Don't we want people to know Jesus rose for you? He loves you. It happened, my friends. It was real. It happened, and it did it all for everyone. I sure hope I don't blow up over here today. I'm telling you, I hear a lot of cracking, you know. I know I'm getting pretty excited, but I don't want to explode, you know, right in front of you. There is a time to accept that. And that time, my friends, is right now. It's right now. Now, somebody may think and they may ask the question, well, how long does it take? Salvation comes at the moment you believe. At the moment you believe. It's not complicated at all. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made it simple. It's not hard to understand. If you open your hearts and your minds, it's not hard to understand. But many people reject that. A lot of people in the world today reject that. They put it off. And I say reject it because they put it off. It's not that they don't necessarily believe it. They just put it off and say, well, I'll take care of that later. I'll take care of it later. But is that always wise? No. No, it's not. We can't always say. How many times in doing stuff around the house, now wives, do not look at your husbands, but how many times in doing stuff around the house, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. It happens all the time. Many people are going through their life, they're living the motion, they're doing this and they're doing that, and we all know somebody like this, every one of us, and they keep putting it off. And they know they need to take care of it. We need not wait. We need not wait. And we need not let those that we care about wait. We need to really challenge them. And this is going to be my challenge to all of us today. Because the countdown is on. The countdown is on. We can be assured. Assured, the Bible tells us here, of His promise if we will hear His word. If we will hear what God is calling us to today in this portion of our time together as well as later. It says in 1 John chapter 5, very clear, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life and that this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. We can know, and there's nothing more comfortable, there's nothing more assuring than knowing something, without a doubt, knowing. And the Bible says here we can know, and the time is now. Waiting, my friends, is not always fruitful. We've learned that through life. We wait, and sometimes it doesn't come. You know, maybe there's a tremendous, you want to do your Christmas shopping. Tomorrow is the only day that there's going to be a sale at Walmart. You know, I just use that name. I'm sure there's always a sale at Walmart, but whatever the case. At your favorite store, I'll change that. At your favorite store, Macy's, JCPenney's, whatever. But tomorrow's the only day. But you're busy. You can't get there. You go in Tuesday morning, are they going to honor that price? No. You missed it. You missed it. The time was now, when it was open, when it was available. And the Lord is saying here, I want you to hear what I'm saying, not just to those who already know me, but to those who don't. And for those who do, this is what I want you to hear, to share with those who don't. One of the saddest verses that I've found in the Bible, and there's many, but this one really stands out to me, is the cry of those not saved in time. It says in Jeremiah 8:20, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. That sounds pretty hopeless, don't it? Does it sound like the state of many around us today? It's too late for me. No, it's not. The time is now. Time is moving. It's moving, and it's moving rapidly, and it's fast. But yes, we still have time. But the time for action is now. Now, you may be thinking, what in the world is he talking about? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? Challenge, think. I want things different in my life. How many of us could say that? Every one of us. Somewhere, everybody's got an improvement somewhere. I want things different. I want to see things better. Or I want to see things better in the life of someone that I love. It says in the book of Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, in the story of the conversion of Paul, it says this, "So he, trembling and astonished, said to the Lord, 'What do you want me to do?'" Isn't that what we should be seeking? What God wants us to do. Because oftentimes the things that we want are only fulfilling for the moment. And then even then, how many times have you really, really looked forward to something and you got to do it and were disappointed? Maybe that special celebrity you really wanted to meet, thought they were going to be the greatest person ever, and you met them and were the biggest jerk that ever walked. You know, I've done that one quite a few times. And just disappointing. But it's but here, Paul gives us a challenge in his walk that we each could ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? The question we have to ask ourselves is not only are we prepared to hear the answer, are we prepared to do it? Because see, we hear answers all the time. We ask people questions, they give us an answer. If we don't apply that answer or accept that answer, it really didn't matter, right? And God could say, I'm calling you to do this. I'm calling you to go to Thailand. I'm calling you to do this. But if we don't obey that or be obedient to what he calls, it really doesn't matter. So what we need to ask is, Lord, what do you want me to do? We need to understand this morning, right now, there is still time for surrender. There is still time to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. We can still find God's will for our life. But now is the time. The conversion story of Paul is so powerful. And it is one that tells us and shows us clearly by a life not lived for the Lord in the right way that starting over is possible. Starting over is possible. I have a dear friend of mine named Darren Erickson, and he wrote a book and he said, God loves do-overs. I love that. God loves do-overs. I'm going to be teaching that class next year. God loves do-overs. Don't we all need one of them? Don't we need an extreme makeover sometime? You know, and just change everything? Only God can do that. And whether it is us, ourselves, or whether it is someone that we care about, I can tell you today without a question, all hope is not lost. All hope is not lost. If we look at Paul, when then he was known as Saul, he seemed in life and world things, if you will, to have everything. He had power, he had prestige, he had notoriety. But in all actualities, he had nothing because he didn't have Jesus. But on the road to Damascus, that changed. He got the missing piece of the puzzle, if you will. He was changed, transformed, going from persecutor to protector, going from persecutor to provider. He trusted Jesus with everything, and he surrendered all to him. Now, see, we sing that song, I surrender all, but do we mean it? That's the key. See, we have to give it all to him because God does not want some. He wants it all. You know, we have to give it all to him. And that's the hardest thing for any of us to do is to let go. We always want to hold on to a portion. We always want to have an ownership, if you will, of certain parts of things. But God says, I want it all. Because if you'll trust me with everything, I won't let you down. I won't do you wrong. I'll show you exactly where I want you to go. But you got to trust me 100%. 100%. Paul did that. He trusted. So there is a time right now for each and every one of us to be able to do that with our lives. If we haven't already done that. And the time is now. It is now. Total and complete surrender. Because that is what changed Paul. That is what made his life completely different. It changed his life. It changed his future. But more importantly, it made an impact on the world Think about that. That complete surrender of one man's life changed the lives of millions of people over the course of time. Do we believe here as a body of believers in First Baptist Church of Williams, Arizona, that we can do the same thing? You ought to, because we can. Because God has given us the same ability, the same power, the same foresight. We just have to be willing to do it. He's saying, trust me. It's important to surrender to me and trust me. All the things that you have doubts and worries about, give it to me. It says, cast your cares upon me, right? Because I care for you. He's saying, just trust me, and I'll show you what to do. It was a big deal to Paul. He writes in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. In other words, it takes a changing of our thinking, right? Because if we get surrounded by so many different things, it can kind of mess with your thinking. You know, you sit in a room of negative people all day long. When you leave, it's like, man. Is it really that bad? You know, it makes you want to run off the bridge somewhere or something. It's terrible. But here, he's saying, I got transformed by the renewing of my mind. In other words, I began to think like the Lord asked me to. I began to surrender and give. We can make a total surrender as well. We can do that. We can, individually and collectively as a body. We can do this, and the time is now. It's right now, because there are people all around us, my friends, that are in great need. Tremendous amount of hurt and need on every corner around us. Many of us are in need in some capacity in our lives. We have the resource. We have the resource, not a answer, but the answer. We have it. The one who can provide everything and all the answers, all the deals, all the directions, all the issues, everything in the person of Christ. We have that. We have that according to the Word of God. And we have time to call on Him, but the time is now. The time is right now. There's still time to stop resisting the will of God. How many times in life have you ever really felt the need, the burden, the urgency, whatever the case, to do something, but you didn't do it? We've all been there. Maybe I need to go down to see my neighbor. Maybe I need to go do this. Maybe I need to go do that. Whatever, but we keep putting it off. But that voice doesn't go away. That urgency, that feeling, that burden, that heaviness on my heart, it doesn't go away. And sometimes it just gets worse. Today, right now, we can stop resisting the will of God. There is time to be about what He has called us to do. There is time to do it, and the time is right now, my friends. I can't emphasize that enough. There is time to surrender the things in our life that are not good. There is time to surrender the things in our life that are a hindrance to our witness. There is a time to surrender everything that creates problems in our homes, whatever they may be. If there's something causing a division in your home, or arguments, or these things and keeping you out of the will of God, there is time to get rid of it. There is time to answer God's call to win souls of the lost. And that time, it's right now. I believe it with all my heart. The time is right now. Now, here's the question. Is time running out? Yeah, it is. It's getting shorter every day. Whether just by natural cause, or if the Lord decides to take us out, whatever the case may be. But there is still time until that day for Jesus to return. We celebrate in this month, we celebrate His birth, His first coming, if you will. But let us not forget, according to the Bible, there's one more to look forward to. There's one we ought to get even more excited about, because we can see it. The time for it could happen. And it could be now. could be now. Revelation 22 and 12 says, "And behold, I am coming quickly." Now, nowhere in that does it say maybe. Nowhere in that does it say if I get time or if I don't have anything else to do. No, he says, "I behold" means listen. That's an attention grabber, if you will. Imagine you talking to someone and they say, "Behold," it gets your attention. You know, I mean, you know. He says, "I am coming quickly." The same Jesus that we celebrate here today, that we celebrate all throughout this month, who gave his life, the one who came on the cross and gave his life and 3 days later rose again, my friends, he's coming back. And we can get really excited about that today. He will come back to raise the dead in Christ first. And then he will call up all those who remain that are his. And he will remove us from the evil. He will bring his rewards with him according to his word and give to those according to what we have done for him. He will come swift and it will be certain, but it will take place. And there's still time for it to happen. And it could be at any moment. But each minute, every minute that goes by, every minute that passes down, that time gets closer. That time gets closer every day. And if we look back to the words of Paul, he says, "Behold, now is the accepted time." Now is the accepted time. What is that telling us? It says we cannot afford to wait. That's what he's saying. Don't wait. We have time, but we must use that time wisely. Every time, every minute that we have, we should use it wisely. We should, according to the Word of God, I believe this, we should enjoy life. We should enjoy life. We should enjoy celebrations that we have. But we need to keep our eyes on everything that's important. We need to keep our ears tuned to everything that's important and make sure that we're ready. Make sure that those that we love are ready. Do we realize, my friends, statistically, it is proven that 6,000 people die every day in the United States. Not around the world. That could be thousands, millions. But right here in the United States, 6,000 people every single day. We have to believe a large percentage of that, they weren't ready to go. They were not ready. We have people all around us that we love, people all around us that we care. We have time to talk to them. The question is, how much? Can we afford to wait? Can we afford to wait? Receive Christ today if you haven't already done that, because now, according to the Word of God, is the day of salvation. Don't wait if you've put that off. If you haven't, don't wait for telling somebody else. Because the gift, the greatest gift that any one of us could give to anybody this year is the gift of Christ. There is no greater. I don't care. No matter how great that sale at Walmart is, you will never find anything to beat Jesus. I can promise you that. Surrender to him today if you haven't done that. And make this the greatest year ever, even if there's only 2 weeks left. Seize the moment. Embrace what he has done. Embrace it. Don't hold on anymore. Let go. And look at what he can do for you while we still have time, because it's not like that sale that we missed. Then we can say, "Oh, well, I'll do it again later." The time for action is now. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your conviction. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. And Lord, I thank you for this word today. And now, Lord, as we come together, Lord, and we share these moments together, Lord, with the elements, Lord, that Jesus blessed and broke on the night before he gave his life for us, Lord. May we reflect our hearts this morning, Lord, and realize Jesus was giving this message on that night. Now was the time. Now was the time for me to give my life. Now the time has come for this prophecy to be fulfilled, for the scriptures to be fulfilled. Lord, I just pray that we would understand that today. And as we look at this sacrifice, Lord, and realize the greatest gift that we could possibly have ever received or ever be given is eternal life through the person of Christ. And I just pray, Lord, we would reflect our hearts. Lord, if we are out of your will today, Lord, if we need to find ourselves clean before you today, may we use these moments in between to reflect that and ask you, Lord, to forgive us and cleanse us, Lord, and make us whole. Thank you for this awesome time together. And Lord, I just pray in advance for our time afterwards, Lord, as we look at this vision I believe you've given us, Lord, that we would embrace it, Lord, seriously and understand, irregardless of the things that need to be done, Lord, that you can provide and you will show us, Lord, clearly what we need to do. And we'll thank you for all things. In Christ's holy name, amen and amen.